This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
Hello guys, welcome back to the Eat Like Ruby podcast. I am back in studio today with an in-studio guest. Perfectly timed for Mother's Day this weekend. I have my very own mother in studio with me. Welcome, Mum.
Thank you for having me.
Mum's going to act all polite and nice now that we're on the podcast. Making it sound like my mum's not nice otherwise.
I just act nice.
All right. So Mum is here, obviously, because like I said, coming up to Mother's Day, it's just cool. I thought it would be a vibe. But also because my mum is a personal trainer. She is what I would call a fitspo. Mum will be 59 next month. Yes, so 60 next year, which is so cool. If you're watching, you can clearly see Mum is wearing a shirt that says lift more, age less, which is awesome. And like I said, she is a PT, but she's just also a person heading into her 60s that trains, looks after herself, prioritizes nutrition, training, all of the things, not too big on excuses. And I just thought it'd be super cool to get her on and talk about that. A little bit of a different guest, different perspective. I think it's one thing for me to sit here as the 32-year-old with all the answers, but Mum's obviously got, what is that? How old were you when you had me? 27.
26. No, 26. Yeah, just turned 27.
Oh, yeah. You would turn 27 and then I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mum's got 27 years on me. So if you think I'm wise, wait for this. So let's start, Mum. Obviously, like, you can introduce yourself and whatever, but I feel like I've already done that. I think it'd be cool, and I even said to you, I think it'd be cool to talk about your nutrition and training journey, whether it's the 58-year version or the 2-year version, I don't know. But I feel like you have gotten more and more into nutrition and training as I have over
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Probably I would say over the last 12 years, like really since I was maybe like 20.
Yeah, more when you started working at Fernwood at Moray Field, I pretty much just joined that gym to support you.
Love it. Mum
and then whatever, like, so we actually have – we've done things differently, whereas most kids want to be like their mums. What do you want to do when you grow up? You know, whatever mum does, that's what I want to do. So I grew up, I just had a job that pretty much just paid the bills. And it wasn't until you started personal training and working in the gym and I came along to support you that I thought, shit, I really like this too. And I want to do that. So I followed you rather than...
This is so cool because I feel like obviously we're going to get into all the nutrition and training stuff today, but even that is really a career change. A career, like you embarked on a career. Mm. You didn't even really have a particular career up until that point.
No.
Like you said, you
didn't even have a desire to have a career. I left school at 15, got a job in the butcher shop and did that.
Yeah.
Forever.
And until, then just did the mum, like, obviously, you know.
I just wanted to be a mum. That was my dream, to be a mum.
Love it. So then, you were in your – how old were you when you started studying fitness?
49.
This is incredible, guys. How good. Like, 49, and it's like, I'm just going to fully go after a different career.
I mainly actually did that Cert 3 –
like
purely
yourself.
To see if my 50-year-old brain would retain information, because I really didn't go to school. Like I left the day I turned 15 and got a job at the local butcher shop and that was it. So I'd never really studied and I didn't know how to. Tell you what, I absolutely hated every second of it.
Studying?
Yep. Hated it. Hated it and didn't even do my Cert 4 after that until...
Later on. Yeah. But I feel like there's so many little cool things in that as well, because you even wording it like, I wanted to see if my 50-year-old brain could do it. So many people would be like, oh, my 50-year-old brain can't do it. Mm. Like, I can't study because I'm 50. So I just, like, we see shit like that all the time. So I think it's just so cool that you're like, oh, I want to see if I can do it. And you actually did it and you did the thing. Like, it's so cool. Just to put into, like, a little bit of context for people, Mum's got two kids. So obviously myself, 31, and then Rach is my older sister, 33.
Yeah.
So Mum had two girls in your, like, mid-20s, really?
Yep.
Yeah. So say, like, before your 20s, or like when you were in your early 20s before having kids, what years, that was like what, the 80s? So were you like a dieting person? Were you like body conscious? Like, I have no idea, because I feel like we're so exposed to all this shit now, but I, like, I wasn't even alive in the 80s. So it's like, what was the dieting mindset or your mindset at that time?
So I was food conscious because of your dad.
Yep.
He was like, yeah, he was right into the health and fitness, and so always ate well because I was cooking for him.
Yep.
I love takeaway. Like, nobody loves that more than me, but always did that. So always knew how to eat well because, yeah, because I was always preparing food for your dad. But in the 80s, the gyms were just for men. Women didn't go to the gym.
How crazy.
Until...
like aerobics.
Yeah, Olivia Newton-John, let's get physical. And then there was just like the fancy sort of gyms started the aerobics classes. So the women would go to the aerobics. And I never done aerobics until years later with you when you were like 12 or something, yeah. But, yeah, your dad used to go to the big bodybuilding gym around the corner, Tarzan and Jane. We used to go there and watch the bodybuilding competitions and stuff. I remember actually maybe your dad and I just got married or before we got married, and we were at a barbecue, and I didn't know anyone. It was people from his work when he worked at Telecom. I was the youngest one there, and all these people had their kids, and it was like a real family thing, and all the men were over the barbecue having a beer, chatting, and all the women were sitting around with the kids. And I was sitting there sort of twiddling my thumbs, and I saw this woman walk in, and everyone goes, "Oh my God, she's here." And I'm like, "Ooh, who?" And this girl walked in, this woman walked in, probably mid-20s, and she looked amazing. And while she was walking over, they're all bagging her. "Oh, she goes to the gym. Look at her. Look at her. Look at all those muscles. She looks like a man." And that was the first time I'd ever heard of a woman actually strength training.
That is crazy.
That day, yeah.
And that's what, probably 30 years ago?
Easy.
Yeah.
More than 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably 35, 30, maybe nearly 40.
Don't you feel like the side note, like 80s or 90s was like 10 years ago? And then, yeah. Actually, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, so that was, so I remember looking at her thinking, wow, she looks amazing. But it still wasn't accepted.
Yeah.
For like years and years later.
What a boss. I wish we could find her and get her.
Yeah.
I love this. That's really cool.
Everyone else, they were all like, yeah, sort of bagging her for it.
Yeah, wow. So then obviously you had Rachel in 1990 and me in 1991. After having kids, like, did you have any sort of like more like what's the word I'm looking for? Were you like heightened awareness to then like I need to lose weight or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, as I said, I was always sort of like that food conscious because of your dad. Being a new mum was like I was active. Like I had two kids under two, so like it was like active. So I never really used to. I think I was one of those people that sort of would join the new gym for their new opening special, and then a couple of months later we're like, "Oh, I'm not really using it." So then you'd sort of...
They got
you. Yeah.
They got you.
So and until I actually joined Fernwood, actually you might not even know this, but I had a bad experience at the pub one night and my drink got spiked.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I was sort of even really too scared to go for a walk. So, like around the streets and that for a little while. So, I joined the gym at Fernwood in Frankston.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then you used to come with me and sit over on the couches and read the books and stuff. That was, I remember you saying to me one day,
I want to work at Fernwood.
You said, when I grow up, I want to work at Fernwood. And you did.
And so. I did, guys. So, I could actually retire. I'm actually done. Yeah.
That was sort of my first introduction to some strength training.
Yep.
Yeah, you girls wanted to come, and that was quite an expensive gym. They didn't offer any like junior memberships or anything. So then we all joined that input.
Yeah, and we used to go to aerobics.
Yeah, like. And then we just sort of did classes there because yous weren't old enough to do other stuff. Weights and stuff. Yeah. So we all just sort of did the classes with Wendy Wood. And look, she might listen to this because she's just started following you recently. So if she's listening to this, I'm just going to tell her, since I've become a personal trainer, I get my inner Wendy happening when I'm on that stage taking the classes.
Yeah, she was great. She was just our aerobics instructor, but she was just a vibe. Yeah. She would just go for it. Yeah,
she was really good.
You went and studied fitness at 49, which is awesome. And I remember, like, just as a little side note, we see people studying now, especially fitness. I'm just going to say it. People study fitness and they sort of scrape through. Like, they do the bare minimum and whatever. Mum is not like that. Mum's literally going to read every word, watch every lecture. That's why she hated it. Yeah. It took her 8 times longer than anyone else. Because she's like, follows the rules. But that's cool, because then obviously, you know, you got your certs and everything. So then I remember, like, I had the other day, I had a memory on Facebook that was your, like, shout out to my mum. She's teaching her first class today.
Yeah.
And I think it was 4 years ago, it said. Would that be about right?
Yeah, I think it was like late Feb, maybe.
Yeah. But would it be 2019?
Yeah.
Yeah, so mum teaching her first group fitness class. So what would you be then, 52 or 53, something like that, 53, let's say, 4 years ago.
54.
Yeah. Like, that's so cool. I feel like age doesn't become a thing, or age isn't a thing until, you know, a certain point, and then it can suddenly be, like, quite obvious. So what I mean by that is, like, do you feel like you've hit a point? Let's say you started your, like, fitness journey, if we will, like, 12 years ago, give or take. Have you noticed between that time and now, is shit harder? Do you feel like, are your joints sore? Is it harder to lose weight? Like, anything at all?
Oh, what could, I don't think anything's harder. But probably the hardest thing is more going through menopause and your body shape changing without warning. That was, like, hard. So, yeah, but at least being in health and fitness, all of a sudden you think, shit, I need to change what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Got a bit, like started lifting heavier for that reason.
Can we just acknowledge that? Because so many people would be like, body's changing, nothing I can do, quit the gym. Mum's like, body's changing, up the weights, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
That
was probably mentally the hardest thing. Look, I'm a big believer in, I say to everyone that comes to my classes, because most people go, oh, you're taking the class, it's too hard. Sometimes they walk out, if I'm filling in for someone else, they go, oh, it's you, and they turn around and go home.
Mum, you're not selling yourself.
But I always say, I think, like, exercise is as hard or as easy as you want it to be.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So if you do have an injury, or, yeah, you are, like, 99% of the people that I train are women 50 plus.
Right? Yeah.
And to tell you the honest truth, they're better than the ones that are in their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that whinge. The ones in their 50s and 60s and 70s, if the ones in their 70s, I say, we're doing this, and they go, okay.
And yeah, 100%. When I used to teach at Jolie's, it was massive retirement community. Mm. And I think it's just this underlying thing. It was so cool when I worked there. Like, you've got all these, you know, like your typical oldies, and they sort of come in and they might crap on a little bit or whatever. And you kind of write them off. And then when you start talking to them, you're like, shit, you've had one hell of a life.
Yeah.
You've got a great story. Mm. And I think when you start to see that, it's like, you have been through some of the craziest shit in the world. Like, you actually don't care about doing squats. Doing squats is a dream after the shit you've been through in your life. And I think that's the thing, like, sometimes when people are young or whatever, they just, you know, they're conditioned to be like, oh, it's hard, I'm going to whinge. Like, it's that real surface level thing. Whereas, like, yeah, I think as people get older, it's like, oh, squats, that's fucking nothing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Exactly that. Yeah, some of the ladies that I train, like, they've just – I have one lady, and she had, like, a bad accident younger days, and she can hardly do, like, anything, like, you know, what I've planned for the class. But you look over and there she's just doing what she can. Like, she's just, you know, but she just wants to be there. She wants to be in the gym. I think it's a social thing at that age too. Like, they all go for coffee afterwards, you know. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like, literally, there's some of them I could just say, all right, everyone just take your knickers off, put them on your head, and we're going to run around the block. And they'd go, oh, okay. Like, they would, no matter what you tell them to do, they'll do it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the young ones are like, you say, okay, well, we're going to, you could pick up a heavier weight than that. Oh, no, I didn't sleep well last night. Like, really?
Can we see where I get it from? Are we seeing where I get it from? No, that's so funny. And I think it's such a good point. Exercise is as hard or as easy as you make it. I'm the biggest believer in that. You know, when people are like, how do I make this training program harder? And one example I love to use, and the reason we sort of that can get frustrating to a trainer is because, like, so people like you and I, like we said, we've been training for 12 years. We're still squatting. We're still lunging. We're still deadlifting. There's no crazy advanced movements that people are suddenly going to be able to do or need to work up to doing. It's the same movements. We just do them better. We do them heavier. We might do a few more every now and then. But I think people think the actual exercise and the programming and, like, it just needs to be advanced and more advanced and fancy and supersets and bands and all of the extras.
Especially when you see on YouTube and someone's doing some bloody just sitting backwards on some machine going crazy and you're like...
Yeah, and it's like the same shit. And I think a perfect example, and I often will post this in like my 10-week program group or whatever, if I told you to do one squat right now, like one bodyweight squat, you would rate that as like a 1 out of 10 high.
Yeah.
Like it actually could not be easier. Like it's bloody easy, unless there's an injury. But for most people, one single bodyweight squat. If we were to then say, do one squat with 100 kilos on your back, that would become a 10 out of 10 hard. The single only thing that has changed there is the weight.
Yeah.
So people are constantly, and the reason I say this, if anybody has a coach or has been in Eat Like Ruby, does an Eat Like Ruby program or whatever, in trainer eyes, we rate the session at the end. How hard was the session? And we often see people rating around that 5 or 6 mark. And it's like the single only thing you've got to do there is up those weights a bit. Yep. If you're getting to the end of a session every week, like every now and then you might just be like, oh, that felt easier, or I didn't have it in me to push today or whatever. But if every week you're just like, oh, that was 5 out of 6. Oh, that was 5 out of 6. Ramp it up.
It's not hard.
Here is your advice. Here is your warning.
But no matter how many times you tell people that, they don't want to hear it. Like, yeah, I write a program for people, you know, like, you know, you have that basic sort of start off program and you say to them, like, every week, like, we want to get heavier every week. And then you see them a few weeks later and say, have you put that weight up? Oh, well, I was going to do it next week. I'm like, well, you weren't, because you weren't going to do it at all if I wasn't here. Or they'll do, like, I love push-ups. Like, push-ups are my thing. And I can't stand it when people do them on their knees. I just think, what's the point? Like,
can we just acknowledge if you need to do them on your knees, this is fine.
But I just think, like, I'm a big thing. I think we all should be able to push our body weight up, pull our body weight up.
Yeah.
Hold our body weight up.
I think the thing there is if we are at a point where we're doing them on our knees, keep going, keep progressing.
Oh, yeah.
More reps, but more sets.
Yeah.
Train those muscles in other ways and don't settle for the fact of, like, I do them on my knees, so I will always do them on my knees.
But what I was getting at was, like, in an actual program in the gym, like in the classes, it's hard. Like, they just do them on their knees because they can't progress it. But in the gym, when I write someone's program, put on the bar, and we want to lower that bar, and I look and I think, you haven't lowered that bar, or you haven't even moved the bar. If somebody else has had their bar up here, you just walk up and do them on there. You don't even take it, you know, like, and
I think it's people, like, and it's probably a lack of people truly understanding what we're trying to do in the gym, because I reckon people in that situation with the bar, they would think it's a good thing. Like, oh, this is way easier. This is good.
Yeah.
Shit, this is getting better. I don't hate this like I used to.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to find that sweet spot where it's like, if you're so chilled in the gym, like, there's a sign there. You've got to crank things up a little bit.
Yeah.
If it's feeling way crazier than it felt a month ago, you probably need to push it a bit more. But I feel like we came so far from the, has shit gotten harder?
No, I don't think... anything. There's nothing that really comes to mind. So
do you feel like, in terms of training, has there been things like we see with people, maybe like knee joints or hip joints or backs or anything like that? Have you found like, oh, I used to be able to lunge, for example, and now I can't lunge?
Me personally.
Yeah. Has there been anything with you where it's like, this thing that I could clearly do 10 years ago, I actually cannot really do well now?
Not really.
Yeah. That's really cool. For some people there is, and obviously there's, you know, some people actually will have arthritis and those sort of things kick in. But I think, again, this is just a perfect example of not assuming that that has to be the case.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting older, so my knees are gone.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, whether it's my lifestyle that's made me this way or whether I'm just one of those lucky people, but I've never had a backache. I never have had an injury. I think once I had like a bit of a sore knee. I was after I'd done that park run and it was like uneven ground and I had sore knee for a little bit there.
That's so funny. Rested.
But I've never really had injury. Well, touch I broke wood. My broken wrist. I broke my wrist, but that's yeah. about, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's really interesting.
Yeah, like I sort of get frustrated when I spoke, like when with the young, as I said, the younger ones seem to complain more. Oh, I've got my hips are out, my back's this, my back, whatever. And I think, come on, we need to try and work around that rather than yeah, not do sure. something just for the hell of it. Yeah.
My God, I could. I should do a whole episode on myself working around injuries.
Yeah.
But I think even coming back to your thing of like, I don't know if it's lucky or it's my lifestyle, I'd say it's a combo of both. Like, I think there's 100% credit to your lifestyle. Like, you are, like we said, coming up to 60 and there are people in that same position that aren't living their life the way you are and are therefore paying the consequences. So there's going to be an element of luck because we look at people like myself and Shaq who
have had
lived the same lifestyle and, you know, have just had injuries. Yeah. Like, sometimes you're just unlucky in that sense. But I don't think it's 100% luck because if we took your genetics and your luck, for example, and put them next to put them with a person, you know, you guys had the same genetics and luck and completely different lifestyles, you're going to get completely different outcomes.
True.
So credit where credit's due, old gal.
Old gal. Well, I have a good role model, don't I, with my mum.
Yeah. Oh, God, she could you be should the get next her guest.
On. Yes.
So mum's mum, what now, 83?
She just turned 83.
Yeah. So to put into context, she turned 80, obviously, 3 years ago, and we had a full-blown line dancing, like boot scooting hoedown for her 80th.
And we went home before her.
Yeah. And she actually did. My God, I wish we had footage of this. She did what I would describe to be an 80-year-old slut drop.
It was like a burpee, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when you're 80, I feel like that could be called a slut drop. So she's a line dancer. Like, we're so off topic, but this is a great story. Mum's mum is so insanely active, line dancing, badminton, volleyball, all of the things, just such a go-getter. And, yeah, she had this big 80th hoedown line dancing thing. And they're all in their formation and they've gone back and forth. And then my cousin said to me, wait, there's a slut drop here. And I was like, what? Next minute, they all jump down on the floor and jump back up and keep dancing. And it's literally her 80th birthday. Like, it was next level. Oh, God. How great would it be to get her on here?
Yeah. She'll listen to this. She'll have to have an hour. You'll have to edit that.
She'll be shaming me for... She'll be, like, telling me the correct line dancing term. She'll be like, it's actually not called a slut drop, believe it or not.
She'd probably love that.
Believe it or not. In terms of, like, if we look at your health and fitness journey, I would say, over the last 10 to 12 years, how have you found... Like, do you feel you're in control of being able to be like, I'm going to pursue fat loss, I'm going to pursue muscle gain? I think sometimes the more we age, the more people can think that there's not a lot of choice or control there. They couldn't really achieve fat loss if they wanted. They couldn't really put on muscle if they wanted. Do you think that you can make those choices and succeed with a phase?
Yeah, definitely. I've never tried a muscle gaining phase, which is what I actually want to do for my 60th. I want to, like, yeah, I want to...
Should we sign you up to train like queens?
Yeah. I was thinking.
So's given the nod.
Yeah, that's what I want to do for my 60th. But I have a million things in my head. I want to go have family holiday. I want to do this, want to do that, whatever. And then I thought, that's all good to celebrate it. But for me personally, I want to do a muscle gaining phase.
And really... We are, let's say, 15 months away from said 60th. Mm. So the time is now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is cool. So we can come back to that because I do like that.
But, yeah, I could easily do a fat loss phase.
And you have. Easy. Like, yeah, the last time you did one with me, like where we sort of worked together, was, I would say, like 18 months ago. Like, remember, I'd say it was around like August, September.
Yeah.
Not last year, the year before.
Yeah.
Remember before you went away, you went on like a holiday in October and you were doing Eat Like Ruby.
Yeah,
like
not the last October, the October. Yeah, we went to Airlie Beach. Yeah.
And I remember you lost a few kgs before you went.
Yeah, and then I made sure that the hotel had a good gym and stuff to go to.
Mum is just selling herself, selling it like Ruby's selling it.
Yeah, so I could do that. I mean, I haven't done a fat loss phase for a little while, but I'm actually, I like myself at the moment. Probably the heaviest I've been for a little while, but that doesn't bother me. I'm enjoying.
Can we talk about weight?
Yeah.
Like just to put into context a bit, because sometimes people just listen, they don't watch. Yeah. Like what do you weigh roughly?
About 66.
Yeah. Basically twins. Yeah. I don't think I'm 66, but like we always hang around that sort of in the 60s. Yeah.
I remember at my 50th, I got under 60.
You were so
good. And everyone kept saying to me, oh, you look so good. And I felt like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like a frail old woman.
Yeah.
I really think, like, yeah.
That's one thing I was going to say. Even though you haven't, like you said, you haven't done a successful muscle gaining phase, I feel like you don't fuck around and spend a lot of time dieting, like restrictive dieting. Yeah. Like you eat well and you train well and you don't spend a lot of time like really pursuing a deficit or a fat loss phase or doing a restrictive diet. You actually have really great balance, I would say, with your nutrition, like good education, and you've found a great balanced approach with that. And I think as a result, you have quite a well-built physique. Like you haven't gone into a real intentional muscle gaining phase, but I would say you've spent a really big portion of the last 7 or 8 years eating really well, training really well.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we talk about on the podcast, finding that sweet spot where you're not actually going balls to the wall muscle gain, packing on the weight, but you're so insanely consistent for a long time that your physique just starts to build this good shape and you just look awesome. Yeah. Like I would sit here right now and say like, well, you've built a great looking upper body.
That's like, I like the upper body thing.
yeah. God, imagine after a muscle gain phase.
I know, that's what I look forward to.
We'll get you back. We'll get you back for a 60th podcast.
Yeah, do that.
Oh, my God. So psych. Great, we've locked them in for a year. Perfect.
Yeah. So I track my food purely so I don't overeat probably, because I could tend to overeat. I love, I love my food, but I don't want to overeat. Like that's probably what is harder as you get older. You do have to be a little bit more mindful. It doesn't come off as easy as it used to. But but I don't.
I think,
and I still have my wines on the weekend, and
I think there's so much there as well because. Again, you're like, okay, it might not come off as easy as it used to. So what do I do about it?
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, now I'm a victim to this.
Yeah, I have heard some women say like that sort of around my age say, oh, well, obviously that's just it now. I'm never going to be slim.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's just like anything in life. It's all about how bad you want it.
And it would be like someone saying, oh, I'm 50, I can't study.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I did the damn thing, sister.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so obviously with everything we've been saying, you're a trainer, like we said, your mum, two kids. Like you said, you worked full-time for a large portion of your life. So I feel like you have lived and experienced so many of the things that people use as excuses when we think about it.
Yeah.
And again, it's easy for me to sit here with all the answers if I haven't lived those things. Like I work for myself. I don't, and there's pros and cons to everything. But I think a lot of the time we see people saying like, I have a full-time job or I have kids, I'm a mum, I'm getting older. So many of these things are the excuses. What have you got to say about this?
Oh, I don't know. what I just said before, pretty much like if you really want something, you quite easily get it. Like a lot of people say, oh, I haven't got time to get my steps up. Like that's just crap. Like walk around your house. It's 120 steps is around the outside of my house from going from the kitchen to the hall and through the bedrooms and around. It's 120 steps. Like so you do – and I do 10 laps. It takes like not even 10 minutes. If it's raining or it's like, oh, shit, I haven't got enough steps. Well, Dave just looks at me. What are you doing, Dale? Oh, just need some more steps.
It's like, yeah, whatever. No, that's really funny. And that's probably even a good point too. So Dave obviously being my stepdad and neither here nor there with health and fitness, but you, again, don't use that. I think that's a super common one for people of any age. Like, my partner doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, we could take that anywhere. No, but I think we've almost covered this, because it's like, what are the actual legitimate excuses versus what am I telling myself? And I think that's the case with anything in life. And we've probably riffed on that in so many ways in the podcast. But when it does come to age or whatever, like, you might actually be at a point where it's like, yeah, my knee joints, like, I actually have arthritic joints. I cannot lunge. This is not an excuse. This is a fact. And I think this is where we then say, okay, cool. Do I sit on the couch and cry poor me because I can't lunge, or do I go down to the gym and talk to the trainer and say, what do I do instead of a lunge?
Exactly, yeah. Well, I have a couple of ladies that have, like, arthritis and stuff. You can work around it. There's always an alternative 100%. To something that they can't do. Like, quite often, like, I take boot camp 3 days a week, and 90% of those ladies are older than me. That's so funny. And they're like, oh, I can't, my wrists, you know, like, one has arthritis in her wrists, and we do a lot of push-ups and that because we don't have a lot of equipment. What can I do? You know, if I write that workout, I've duck into the gym, make sure I've got some weights for her to do some chest press instead, you know, like, yeah. So there's always an alternative to, whatever they can't do.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't speak on behalf of every gym in Australia, but, like, I've worked in gyms a long time, you've worked in gyms. A trainer is not going to be like, oh, you can't do it, get out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we love. We love it when they come to us and say, I've got this injury, can you help me?
Yeah.
And that's what we're there for. We love that.
Yeah. I had a lady, this is just a cool story. I had a lady when I worked at Jolly's, and you'll remember, who was in her, like, late 60s, heading to 70, and she had polio.
Oh, yes, I remember
when
her.
When she was a kid. And, like, super simple terms, but basically one of her legs just didn't grow the same way the other one did.
Tiny, yeah.
Skinny, tiny, no strength. Like, she really, her leg kind of stopped growing at one point compared to the other one. And you wouldn't even know.
No.
I just thought she had a skinny leg. And then when I got into it with her, she was one that had such a crazy life. And it was like, you show up here every day and you just do what you can, showing up to classes, walking on the treadmill, just doing your thing. And it's like, what a crazy story when we get into it. But it's almost like what I spoke about on the podcast with Shaq when I talked about my dad. It's like, she hasn't let that be her story. She's not just like, oh, well, I had polio.
Yep.
That end.
Yep.
It's so cool when you see it. I love seeing it.
I have an elderly friend. She's had cancer 3 times.
My God.
Buried 2 husbands to cancer. She goes to the free park classes, like in Bundy where we live. We have lots and lots of free exercise classes out in all the parks and on the beaches and stuff. So there's no excuse there for where people say, oh, I can't afford the gym or whatever. And she just goes. And she's mid-70s, I think. Yeah, and she's amazing. Yeah, another lady came to the gym the other week, joined up. She's had cancer, and a treatment has, like, affected all her bones and that. So, yeah, I'm working with her to get her strength happening and that. Like, it's...
How good.
Yeah, I feel like she's in her 70s as well.
It's so... I don't even know what the word is. I feel like I want to say refreshing, but it's not refreshing, but, like... You get so caught up in your own shit, and then you step out and you have these conversations with these people, and you're like, oh my God, like, I was, you know, people get worried about, you know, that 0.5 centimeter increase on their inner thigh. And it's like, oh, love over here that's had cancer 3 times and she's still training. Like, it just puts shit into perspective.
Yeah, I think
it's so cool to hear everybody's stories, and it's a bit of a slap in the face. And even like Shaq, we've watched Shaq, you know, train in a sling for the last 6 months. Like, I literally watched Shaq drag that sled up and down the gym with one arm in a sling for months. And it's just like, you do what you can.
Yep. No, just like going back to like being older and in the gym and stuff. And sometimes I'm going to really like build myself up a little bit here. Sometimes.
Go for it.
I love it when I'm in the gym training and I look around and I think, God, I love being the oldest, strongest person in the gym right now.
That's so cool.
Sometimes I look and I think, you could be a bit harder than that. But they're not. And they're like 30.
That's so funny. I've got clients that have said that too. Like, I've had clients that have been like, actually see like young guys in the gym, you know, hip thrusting a certain weight or deadlifting a certain weight or whatever. She's like, and then I just walk over and
do
maybe
it.
Yeah. Do an extra 5 kilos or something. And they feel like such a boss. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So on that note, like, what is your, how would you describe your current nutrition and training? Like, what is your current training? Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, I just started a new program this week.
Go, Mum.
Purely for, because now we've got the new puppy. And like yesterday, she went for 5 walks because she's full of beans and whatever. And so I've really got to sort of work around her. So I was having 2 lower days, 2 upper days.
Yeah.
But now I've just got 3 separate full body days. Yeah.
Yes. I love the full body days. Yeah. I think even if nothing else, they're so refreshing. When you've done upper and lower.
Yeah, I did that for ages. And then, so last week I had a deload on that, the 2 upper, 2 lower. And this week I've just and actually, to tell you the honest truth, I pretty much just wrote down all the exercises that I like to do and then went, okay, I'm going to do that, you know, like full
together.
Body that day. Yeah. And I'm going to do all those ones on Wednesday and all those ones on Friday. And then if there is a day that I do miss, like today driving here, whatever, if I don't get to train properly, at least I've trained 2 full body days. This week.
Big yes to this.
Done a shitload of steps with the puppy.
Is there any actual cardio or is it more just walking the dog?
Walking the dog, and Tuesday night I take pump class.
Oh, yeah, which is...
And I do that. And so I don't go heavy. I use that as like a bit of a cardio session.
Yeah.
For me, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then, that's about it.
I love it. And then current nutrition, like... What do you do?
At the moment, I'm on about 1,800 calories, just, minimum of 120 grams of protein, making sure I get my fibre up because I did have a bit of a thing with that, like, late last year, early this year.
And I think that's one thing, especially as people get older, like people start to get into – not to go too off topic, but you know, like bowel cancer or even people having digestive issues, like a lot of older people need to get the colonoscopies, all of those things. I think fiber becomes a massive thing when you're older. And even when I've spoken to older people, like we won't get too gross, I promise, but when people have been old, like when people are older and they have had some level of discomfort there with digestion and being able to go to the toilet and stuff, so many people of older people have said to me, like, you take for granted going to the toilet.
Yeah.
Like being able to go to the toilet. And then you have to look at your fruit and your fiber and everything a little bit more and make sure it's really on point, because when you've had an issue of not being able to go to the toilet, it's like, it's a great feeling when you can. So I think that's one thing as people get older. For every age, we obviously want to prioritize, you know, fruit, veg, fiber and all of that. But I think young people think they can get away with it. I think I see young people quite often like, not eating enough fruit, not doing that thing. I literally have had someone say to me once, this is a long time ago, I don't want to waste my calories on fruit.
Oh, my God.
And I was honestly like, all right, actually, shit, this is on me as the educator. I need to take this and make sure this doesn't ever get said in the Eat Like Ruby world ever again.
That is crazy.
But I honestly did see that. I reckon that would be 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought to myself, this is on me. The fact that this young girl genuinely thinks that, I'm not having anyone else in Eat Like Ruby ever think this again.
That's nuts.
I know.
But, yeah, young people do just take for granted, even, like, with training and that. Like, they think they don't have to, but, like, once you hit 30, your muscle starts to deteriorate and, like, even though you can build it up, it's harder as you get older. So, keep that going. Like, definitely keep.
I think it's... Like, it can be an age thing. And I think it's even when you have, like, when I think about the fact that I've had injuries and when I think about everything I went through after dad and everything, people say to me now, like, you know, do you like training on your own or, you know, do you get sick of lifting weights or whatever? And I genuinely am like, after going through those things and feeling like you've had times where you feel like you can't train or you can't do what you want, you just are so grateful any day you can. Yeah. I honestly feel like any day I can wake up and go to the gym and do a session where I'm like, that was a great session, like physically and mentally, that is one of the greatest feelings. And when you've had phases, whether it's because of age or an injury or a sickness or anything in your life, when you've had a phase where you've felt like you really couldn't do it, I think even COVID, when people couldn't train in COVID, and then, you know, when you get back in the gym, you're just like, I will never take this shit for granted again. Like, it really is like that. Hey, and it's probably, you know, for older people as well, when they have started to lose certain movements or, like you said, had some sort of bone health issues, whatever it might be, you just start to think like, oh, yeah, shit, all right, what can I do? And I'm going to make sure I bloody do it.
Yep.
Like, for sure.
And you've got to take – people have to take responsibility for that themselves too, because – bagging like the medical profession, but they don't care. They're like, if something goes wrong, like if somebody's got like a heart condition, they're quite happy to just hand out the bloody prescription and not really worry about your lifestyle. There's the prescription and then you go back a couple of months later, we will up that prescription, you know, like not sort of work with you to get off
that. Remember when like I had an older, overweight male doctor. Remember when they said I had arthritis in my back? And he was just basically, without saying stop exercising, pretty much said stop exercising. And I remember thinking like, I have enough education and just awareness and intelligence and everything to kind of take this with a grain of salt. I think I actually just had to go there as a middleman for like a referral or something. So I remember just thinking like, whatever, give me the piece of paper, like I'm never coming back. But I genuinely remember thinking, if I didn't have those things, how many people are getting that advice?
Yeah, exactly.
And thinking, well, the doctor told me to sit on the couch.
Like, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. So not to, you know, bag the medical professionals or whatever, there's good ones out there. But I think, that it can be times where, like you said, they do just want to do a pill or...
So people aren't getting the right information to sort of help their life. Well, even when I broke my wrist, they said a woman in her 50s will just plaster it. Deal with it for like it'll just set and that'll be it. And I was lucky that I found that good surgeon to say, no, I don't want, you know, I want to be able to use it. They were just quite happy to just patch me up and on your way. So
And then like make do. Far out. What a time to be alive.
I know.
But coming back to like the last little thing we'll speak about, your nutrition.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
My nutrition and training.
God knows how we got there.
I don't know.
But you said like you do about 1,800 calories. That's what we were saying. You have noticed as you got older, fiber. It's that simple. Who actually knew? That bloody simple. And staring down the barrel of the camera.
And you can have good food with 1,800 calories.
100%.
Like that's a lot. Like if I'm in a fat loss phase, I usually go to about 1,600. And I can easily manage that, like,
again,
and still have good, yummy stuff.
How simple.
And still have a couple of glasses of wine on the weekend.
Yeah. I actually love it. It's just like, most of the time I eat 1,800. When I want to tighten things up, I go to 1,600. Rocket science. Holy shit. We've found the cure. No, but I think that's really cool. And that was what I kind of wanted to point out. I feel like you're almost similar to Shaq in a sense where you've kind of just got your foods and your meals and your routines during the week and you sort of roughly know the numbers of how that works for you. And then on the weekend, you know, you've got your wine, Shaq's got his KFC.
Yeah.
And you kind of know, like, I am on my game during the week. And it's not ever in that mindset of, like, diet all week, blowout weekend. It's literally a slightly tighter diet during the week that I still enjoy and then a slightly looser weekend that I still enjoy.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's not one extreme to the next. There's such a sweet spot in the middle and I feel like it's almost like we edge a little bit one way for most days and then we edge a little bit the other way for some other days.
Yeah. And just enjoy without – really thinking too much about it.
And I think even coming back to what we said before, for you it's been a very long time. So I've spoken before on the podcast where people are like, oh, it's this for 2 weeks and then it's maintenance and then it's my surplus over here and my deficit next Friday and then in October I'll do this. And it's like, have we stopped for a second and been like, let's just enjoy my food and my training?
Yep.
like, it's almost this constant, like, what's the next phase? What's the next goal? Mm. And it's like, you're just like, I've actually just been doing this for a long time and it's actually quite enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because, like, and when people say, oh, I've got time to track, like, it's not hard.
I think when people think I don't have time to track, I think sometimes the initial phase can be a little bit confusing and overwhelming, but I think people make that a lot harder than it has to be. And I'm thinking about when this podcast is going to come out, because I've got some specific podcasts I'm going to do in the coming weeks about that. I think a lot of people get into the flexible dieting and the tracking food and whatever, and it can be a level of confusion, or, you know, you just don't get it, and rightly so. But then I think people are like, oh, recipes, and, you know, everyone's eating donuts and Nutella and Biscoff and pizza and burgers, and how do I make all of this fit? And even I see people, and I'm definitely going to speak to this in the coming weeks, I see people that are like, I want, or like they kind of word it and they think they want a brand new meal plan every day.
Yeah.
And it's like, forget tracking, forget anything else. Let's talk about grocery shopping, finances, food prep, time management. Do you want to make, let's say you eat four times a day, do you want to make 28 brand new meals a week? Do you want to pay for 28 brand new meals a week? Do you want the waste of making every meal once and throwing the rest out? The time of being like, what's today's lunch? Oh, it's Biscoff banana pancake waffles. And what's the ingredients? Oh, this will take me half an hour.
And the stupid thing is, if they weren't in a fat loss phase or whatever, if they hadn't gone into this in the first place, they'd probably have the same sandwich every day.
100%.
Anyway, 100%. Like for the last 10 years, probably gone to this bakery and bought a sandwich every day. So what's the difference?
Everyone has their foods. And, you know, it's actually a fun fact. Obviously, I've done like a lot of study and I came across a fact and it's just stuck in my mind. They reckon human beings rotate through the same 28 foods. Mm. People have 28 foods that are sort of like your go-to. And if you think about it, like if I went to the shops right now and I was like, shit, I haven't planned my food, no idea what I'm eating this week or whatever, I would straight away be like, yogurt, cereal, berries. Frozen berries, Nutella, some meat, some salad bags. And you're like, I literally get this shit every week.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't need to write a list.
Yeah. It's so funny. And when I heard that, I just remember thinking, shit, that's true. And it's a funny thing to think about then. I think people should then ask, like, what are my 28? Are they good? Do they serve me? Do I need to look at these? Like, shit, if I'm eating this similar. And that's not to say we never eat a 29th different food. But for the most part, if you're rotating through the same things, it's worth asking yourself, shit, what are these things?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, I don't know where we were going, but I was just going to say, like, if anybody, like, older, I always say to people, just weigh the food just to make sure you don't overeat.
Yeah.
If you have those kitchen scales on your bench, even when I pour a wine, I literally, like, weigh it so I know that it's like I've had that right amount rather than pouring the glass. You know, your glass is this big, but you go to the pub and buy one, you only get that much in the bottom anyway. So, like, why fill that up? Like,
yeah. And I think there's probably so much that could be said there and we won't go too far. But even – I think you – I don't know about you, but I'll just, even if I'm not weighing something, you just by habit put it on the scale.
Oh, yeah, make a cup of tea. The cup goes on the scale to pour the water in.
Yeah. And then you're like, shit, was I doing that? But for myself right now, like, I am so loose with my tracking. It's not even funny right now. Like, I definitely don't track strict. And I've spoken about my own goals this year, so it just makes sense not to. But also, like, I do eat, you know, we all see it on Instagram, I eat the same meals every day. And when I make, like, that Nutella yogurt bowl, perfect example, I very rarely have tracked my day in my fitness pal and actually worked that meal out. But every time I make it, I put in the same amount of berries, more so to know I'm getting like enough fruit, enough fiber, and then the same amount of Nutella, whatever. So it's like, it doesn't always have to be like weighing and tracking and then taking some out and measuring and making sure it all fits and all those things. Sometimes it's as simple as just like weighing out that meal, like you would portion out making a cake because you're like, I don't want this cake to be a shit show.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make sure I kind of
the right ingredients,
nail the requirements. I just want to make sure this meal is actually sort of fits the requirements of what I want.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything else you would like to say to the listeners while you're on the mic?
Just actually embrace getting older. When people like whinge about getting older, that really bothers me when I hear people go, oh, I'm getting old. Honestly, I love myself more every year.
Amen, sister.
I love myself more at 58 than I did at 48.
That's so cool. That is really cool. I love it because I feel like I am not that I'm getting older, but do you, you sometimes you feel like I feel like I'm still in my mid 20s and then I'm like I think
so
I
do I.
I even said to Kristen yesterday about the podcast and I was like, oh, mum's coming and it's really cool because she's nearly 60 and I was like, you know, it's easy for me to sit there at 28 with all the answers. And then as I was leaving, I was like, by the way, Kristen, like I'm actually 31. I'm not 28. Like, I don't even know why I said that. But that's so funny. So, no,
but embrace your age because a lot of people don't get to live this long.
100%. That is, that's a great thing.
Yeah, so don't whinge about it. That's for sure.
Yeah, even if we think about everything we've just spoken about with everyone's stories, it's like you're here at 58, eating good, training good, living good.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
Exactly.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've loved having you here.
I love being here. I
think people will get so much from this combo. I think it'll be really cool. And I feel like everyone's going to want to follow along on the muscle gain journey. I feel like we're going to have to spruce up your social media presence. Sophie's little marketing brain is ticking over. She's like, let's get Rubes' mum on it.
It's funny when you said like a lot of people would love this combo. If they'd only – we've had this combo a million times.
I know.
Just as –
fly on the wall vibes.
Yeah, sitting on the couch watching Home and Away. This combo. Hang on, pause it. What about so-and-so at the gym?
For long-time listeners, we'll get you back in a year's time for the muscle gain phase.
Sounds good.
Which will be perfect for YouTubers. So check it out on YouTube. We should do some sort of like, I don't know, before photo or something. Like remember that day you went to the potty?
Yeah.
Here you were. Now you've done your muscle gain phase. Are you thinking muscle gain in time to then do fat loss pre-birthday?
Yeah.
Love it.
I want to look like Suzanne Nightingale on my birthday.
Love that. Love it. All right. That is a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mum, so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back soon.